What a great God we serve. Amen. He's marvelous. He's wonderful. He's fantastic. He deserves all the praise, all the honor, all the glory, because he is the all-powerful one, the almighty one. Amen. That's a good old favorite song of mine. Still good. Always will be. Because God is great. Throughout my life, I have enjoyed observing God's greatness that we have close at hand in observing creation. Romans opens up talking about the creation is a thumbprint, is evidence that God is there. The Psalms talk about Him. Your Bible opens up. What? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I love to get out in creation. How many of you like to get out in the boonies? Out in creation, out and looking around. My parents raised me out in the woods. Well, not totally. Actually, we did have a house, okay. But we love to get out and enjoy nature. I have enjoyed seeing a lot of different sights, mainly in the western part of the United States. Wonders of the creation of God. We visited Yellowstone National Park. There's Teton National Park right next to it. We've been to Hell's Canyon. How many of you have been to Hell's Canyon? What? Well, a couple of you. I'll pray for you. There's part of Hell's Canyon right there. That's the border between Oregon and Idaho. The Snake River cuts through this huge gorge. It's the deepest gorge on the North American continent. How many of you thought it was the Grand Canyon was that? No, you got to go to Idaho or Oregon to see the deepest gorge of the United States. Grand Canyon's bigger, and I've been to it. And it just kind of makes your mouth kind of, well, Yeah. Sally stood back about 20 feet when we were there, and she said, I'm close enough. I'm up on the edge looking over the edge, and what are you doing? Come here. Take a look at this. No, I'm fine. Right back here. I haven't been out on that platform that's glass that you can look down. That would be interesting. Have any of you done that one? Yeah. Okay. Been there. I've dreamed about doing the excursion down into the canyon because I'd love to go and explore. I'm a wandering fool sometimes. But, you know, years are passing and I don't think I'm going to get that one done. But, you know, last year there were nearly 6 million people who went to the Grand Canyon. Last year alone, 6 million visitors. And I thought, man, everybody in the world wants to go to Grand Canyon, right? Well, I found out that as I was doing a little bit of research that the Great Smoky Mountains outdoes them. They had 14 million visitors last year at the Smoky Mountain. I haven't been to that one. How many of you have been to the Smoky Mountain? Most. Okay. I haven't been there. I guess that's on the bucket list someday. But nature has always enthralled me. Beautiful, beautiful territory, whether it's the Arches National Park, seeing the desert. Some people look at the desert and say, there's nothing out there to look at. Just look for a little while. It grows on you sometimes, or you grow in it, one of the two. And then I grew up in the forested Northwest, and we always vacationed out in along the mountain streams. I loved that, to see God's beauty that He's placed in creation as a testimony of His power, His goodness. Many people visit these places and just go there to go somewhere to do something, whereas others go to see the beauty, the majesty. And many people start asking questions of how the different natural wonders occurred. And there are some marvelous fairy tales out there. Placards there in the national parks of the supposed formation of all these things. Usually it's the evolutionary story. Very rarely do you see any hint of what we read in the Bible, of God's creative, active processes. We were studying in men's group Thursday night, men, that we're going through the book of Genesis. We've just finished the flood. Can you imagine what destructive powers a year-long water-covered earth would do? Moving along. All through the Scriptures, God's Word declares it is truth. Do we believe it? Do we accept it? Do we see the evidence of our Creator around us? Or do we come up with some stories like we see and hear that we're taught in the public schools, that a frog can become a prince? I thought that was a fairy tale. And they're trying to teach us as truth? Or did God breathe into us life? And does He give each one of us the breath of life? During the ministry of Jesus, He gave many convincing proofs that He was God in human flesh, that He was the coming promised Messiah. He was foretold throughout the Old Testament. I mentioned that passage in Psalm 34, that was about Jesus. He lived righteously. Jesus spoke truth. He performed all types of miracles right there so everybody could watch and see. But the majority of the Jewish leaders refused to accept the evidence. Instead, they openly and repeatedly tested Him, mocked Him. They attempted to trap Him so that they could get rid of Him. We looked at the passage last week where the Pharisees and the Herodians tried to trick Him into defying the Roman government or God in the issue over money. Do we pay taxes or not? We're not going to rehash that one. Who won that circle? Jesus won with all wisdom. And today in our passage, we see that the Sadducees show up. They attempt to confuse Jesus in order to discredit Him, to mock Him, and even to mock most of the Scripture. They think they got the answer. And Jesus proves them wrong once again. The result of these tests is that Jesus is proven true. He is proven God. That God is true. His Word is true. And we are even given a few more truths and a little bit of understanding that is not clearly taught in the rest of Scripture in this passage today. Let's read our text. See if you discover something new here that you didn't know before. Mark chapter 12, verses 18 through 27 says, "Some Sadducees, who say that there is no resurrection, came to Jesus and began questioning Him, saying, 'Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves behind a wife and leaves no child, his brother should marry the wife and raise up children to his brother. There were seven brothers, and the first took a wife and died, leaving no children. The second one married her and died, leaving behind no children, and the third likewise. And so all seven left no children. Last of all, the woman died also. In the resurrection, when they rise again, which one's wife will she be? For all seven had married her.' Jesus said to them, 'Is this not the reason you are mistaken, that you do not understand the Scriptures or the power of God? For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. But regarding the fact that the dead rise again, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the passage about the burning bush, how God spoke to them, saying, "I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You are greatly mistaken." Let's go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, we read here that the Sadducees were greatly mistaken. They had come up to the wrong conclusion over and over again, and and their heart was not right with you. They were not open to you. Father, if there are any here today, help us each to examine our hearts to make sure that we're not closed-minded, thinking that we're smarter than you, the Almighty. Help us to acknowledge you, to learn from your word, to learn to accept Jesus as Messiah, as Lord, as Master, and to be growing in knowledge and understanding about your truth, your righteousness, and living for you every single day. We thank you for your scriptures. We thank you for this time together. Lead us and guide us now in these coming moments. We pray for your guidance in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thought I want to deal with is the Sadducees did not understand God's word. Now, they claimed to be knowledgeable of God's word. They claim to have all the answers. They are approaching and facing off with Jesus because Jesus is the popular teacher, and the Sadducees are the leaders. This group in particular are leaders of the Jewish people. So it's not just them. There's a lot of people who tag along with their belief system. The people think, hey, they're the leaders. They should know what's right, right? All of our leaders know what's right, right? Excuse me. They are people. They are sinners. And they need to learn from God himself. That was a fake cough a minute ago, but I did need some water. Okay. Every human being needs to learn from God. Every one of us needs to learn God's truth and inspect it, study it, analyze it, and pray for God's wisdom. Well, these guys, these Sadducees, had closed the door to God a long time ago. They read it. Yeah, I know what it says. I've got it all figured out. I know all the answers of life, was basically their attitude. And that's the way they are approaching Jesus. These leaders of the people thought they knew more about the scriptures than Jesus. Who is Jesus? John opens up, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God actually living among them. And these guys think they know more than the Word of God. See the irony there? Foolishness. But they don't think he's God. They think he's just a nut from the hills. And they're going to outsmart him, they think. The Sadducees did not believe in life after death. The statement is, in Mark, they didn't believe in the resurrection. They did not believe it was possible for the dead to be resurrected. It's, hey, when you stop breathing, you're dead, right? That's it, kaput. You just dry up and blow away if something doesn't eat you first. When someone dies, they believe that there was no more. And how many do you know? How many people do you know that believe something like that? When you're dead, you're dead. What's all the big fuss? And yet, we have a little problem here, because just a couple of weeks before this, what did Jesus do? He raised Lazarus from the grave after 4 days. How are you going to deal with that? Well, it must have been a trick. You're a magician. You fooled everybody. Somehow, we haven't figured that part out, but there's no life after death. I don't care if Lazarus is standing over there. And then there's the other people that Jesus raised from the dead. Jairus' daughter, the widow's son from Nain, and how many others we don't know about. The Sadducees claimed to only believe what Moses wrote in the first 5 books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. We have it memorized and we know all the answers. Moses didn't say it. It's not true. What about all the prophets? What about David's message? What about the Psalms? Moses didn't write it, so it's not true. Was the attitude of the Sadducees. They were sad, you see. They had no hope, no future. The Pentateuch was the rule. If Moses didn't say it, then it wasn't true. So, Jesus, you lose. Nah, 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 nah. We win, they thought. These men present this hypothetical question to mock the idea that there could be a resurrection to begin with, that it was even possible. They didn't believe in life after death, nor the power of Jesus, so they decided that the result of obeying this one particular law that, yeah, Moses wrote it, but it doesn't make sense. You see, Moses wrote this law. It's in the Pentateuch. It's in the first five books about if a man dies without having any children, then the brother has to marry this lady and raise children and so on until those children get raised. And so, Jesus, this is a crazy law. So, life after death. And now they're going to extremes that they don't even believe to start with. They're just trying to create a problem. Because they have life in control. And Jesus, you're messing with my control and I don't want you around anymore. They failed to understand the explanation given in Deuteronomy 25, which they claimed to follow, but they didn't even understand the explanation given back there. This scenario of if a man dies, the brother is supposed to take care of the wife. It refers to the preserving of the family name. To preserve the family inheritance of the property. To raise children so that there's somebody in the house of God, blessed by God, given life by God. Where does life come from? From God. It also served the purpose of taking care of the widows and the orphans. But that's not their focus at all. They're trying to create this trap for Jesus. These men refused to recognize the power of God. Their God was kept in their pocket. They manipulated the God that they believed in. He's a good luck charm. Yeah, we believe in God. It's kind of like most Americans today. We carry around our money within God we trust. He's in our pocket. My God's my money. And that was basically what the Sadducees had done with God. The God of Scripture, He's the creator of life. The God of Scripture is the sustainer of all things. The God of Scripture is the judge of every person. The God is the source of our life. And He holds us in the palm of His hand. He determines the number of our days. And He determines whether or not He wants to give us eternity. Based upon our relationship, our reaction, and service to Him. I trust that the God you believe in is not a manipulated God, but is the God of Scripture, the living God, the God of life, the God of blessing, the God of this day and every day forever and ever. Because that's the God of the Scripture. Not one you can put in your pocket and pull out whenever you want to rub and hopefully get something good. The Sadducees were confused. They didn't know what they were talking about. Jesus clarifies God's word for these blind guides. Once Jesus finished explaining, there was no confusion. Jesus states that their assumptions are wrong. W-R-O-N-G. Or if you're a simple speller, R-O-N-G. They allowed their sinful nature to obscure both their understanding of Scripture and the power of God. Matthew's gospel records in chapter 23 that after this conversation, Jesus identified the Jewish leaders as blind guides, hypocrites, liars, and fools. Isn't that a beautiful summary of a group of people? They were following their father, Satan, instead of following the God of life. They allowed their selfishness to pervert the Scriptures, twist them, and mock them, not even believing them to begin with. We have a lot of people like that today. Let's not be one of that group. We read in Scripture that death is not the end of human existence, but it is a door, if we want to use that analogy. It's a door to eternity. It's a door to life everlasting or to condemnation forever. Though Jesus does not state it at this time, he has repeatedly taught that God wants us to have eternal life. Y'all know John 3:16, I hope. Jesus said that. He wants us to have life. God wants us to have life. Jesus came to give us life. But if we don't accept Jesus, we will get death, eternal death. But it's not going to be over in the snap of a finger. It's not going to be over in the stopping of breath. It will be in a place that Satan and the angels that have rebelled against God will be burnt and burnt and burnt and never stop burning. Moses wrote about the God of eternal life. If these guys had only opened their eyes when they read the Pentateuch, they would have seen that Moses is writing about the living God and the God who gives life to others. He is the God that is named what? What's your name, God? Moses asked. I am that I am. The ever-existing God. The Almighty. The ever-living one. Who created all things and gives all things life from His presence. Who spoke everything into existence. Who separates it, who gives it order, who gives it purpose. Even though Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had been physically dead for centuries, when this statement was made to Moses, God continued to hold their lives in His hand. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Adam, Noah, the list goes on. He is the living God, and His people have life, just like God, because He gives it to them. He holds them. He sustains them. He continued to hold their lives in the palm of His hands. He is the living one, the everlasting. God made humans to have fellowship with Him, and He still wants us to have fellowship with Him as His special creation. God began revealing the plan of life with the very first sin. If you remember back there in Genesis, God started unfolding His plan in Genesis 3:15 that there is still hope. Yes, you have sinned, but there is still hope because there is one who will come and He will crush the head of the serpent. God had a plan. Because he's the God of what? Life. The Sadducees were not very good readers, even though they claimed to be. Moses spoke of one who was greater. A greater prophet than himself was coming. That is recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. Who wrote Deuteronomy? Moses. Hey, guys, didn't you read your scripture? Let's read that. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15 says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you. From your countrymen you shall listen to him." Did you get that? The Sadducees had read that how many times? And skipped over it? Not important to me. Not on my agenda. It's not what I think is right. And I know everything. They claimed to follow Moses and yet ignored the words of Moses. And thus they were ignoring the very words of the living God. The Sadducees were without excuse for their failure to watch for their Messiah who was standing right in front of their eyes performing the works of the living God. And they're saying, no, there's no life after death. According to Luke chapter 24, verse 27, Jesus said that every single prophet spoke about him. Your whole Bible focuses on one person, the Savior of mankind, the one who will give us life. Now, there's a whole lot of other stuff in there, but it all serves one purpose to tell us that a Savior is coming. He came, and he's coming when? Again. And we need to be ready for it. Let's not be like the Sadducees. Oh, I read some of that stuff. Boy, that's a long book. It's a little confusing. Have you ever read those lists of all the names? I just closed my book and gave up at that point because it's all ridiculous. That was the attitude of the Sadducees. And what did Jesus say about them? You are wrong. Let's not be wrong. Take time to read your Bible, muddle through the names you can't pronounce, and keep pressing on and learn the Word of God that tells you about the Word of God, the living Word of God, Jesus Christ. Third point, final point, the Bible teaches that we serve the God of what? Life. The God of life. He always had a plan, still has a plan. He hasn't forgotten his plan. He's working his plan. Are we ready for life? God planned a remedy for the curse of death on people from the very first sin of Adam and Eve. He had it in place before they were even created. Their sin was not a surprise to him. Yep, they did, just like I knew that they were going to do. So here's what we're going to do. He starts revealing his plan to the people. He is not surprised by your sin. He knows your thoughts, your schemes, your plans. Make sure that you're walking in his plan. Receive his remedy for your failures. Are we doing that? It's a daily challenge. It's a hard challenge. But it's a necessary challenge. Paul talks about our trials, our hardships help strengthen us to be better people for God. That's not in your notes. That's a freebie. Let's move on to point number B. Letter B. Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 assured the reader that the dead are asleep. But the Sadducees had already wiped Daniel out of the picture because he was not Moses. Moses didn't say that, so Daniel's word doesn't count. Wrong. God sent who? God sent the prophets. God worked through who? God worked through the prophets. Daniel was what? He was a prophet. So Daniel was sent by who? God, the living God. You better listen up, guys. Yes, there is life after death. The dead, whom we think are gone and poof, no more. They're just a pile of dust, ashes, whatever. Their head marker stone is sitting over there. No, they're in the palm of God's hand and they are asleep. And God will wake them up in His time. Give them a body that is beyond description, beyond the grip of death. The Sadducees had these promises available as God's solemn testimony, but these deceivers did not have a heart for God. They refused to listen to God. They rejected Daniel the prophet. When was the last time you read Daniel? Isaiah. Jeremiah. We need to learn from them too. That's why God saved those books for us, so that we can learn. Jesus repeatedly identified Himself as the source of life. He describes Himself as the Good Shepherd, the living water, the door, the bread of life, the Son of God, and much more. And then there's His miracles. His miracles alone should have been a testimony that He was receiving power from someplace. They tried to say, well, He's a servant of Satan. Yeah, the servant of Satan, the king of death, wants to give everybody life. That makes sense. Satan does not fight himself, Jesus said. A kingdom cannot stand if it's divided and fighting amongst itself. I'm not here as the servant of Satan. That's what you're doing, Jesus said. Jesus was the Son of God. He was showing it through miracles, through His teaching, for the fulfillment of prophecies, His righteous lifestyle, His perfect lifestyle, which they didn't like, which they didn't agree with. That should have convinced these men. But no, what are they doing? They're trying to fool Him, trying to trick Him, trying to outsmart Him, because no, He's just some guy from back up north and in the Podunk Hills, and we're educated, and He's not. But Jesus is life. He hasn't stated the passage we quote most of the time, John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. He said that to His inner circle disciples at the Last Supper. But He has said other statements numerous times out in the public. He's given many parables about the son of the king left and then the son of the king came back, right? Who was He talking about? Himself. Using parables. So it was no secret. Jesus had told them, unless you eat me and drink me, you will not have life. He did that out in the public, and a lot of His disciples left, and He turned to His inner circle of the 12 and said, are you going to leave me too? Peter's response, who will we go? You have the words of what? Life. You have the words of life. The disciples, the inner circle, they understood it. They understood who Jesus was. Who am I? Who do the people say I am? Who do you say I am? You're the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, was their testimony, and there were multitudes who believed and followed Jesus. Jesus was the source of life. He was the promised one. Would the Sadducees accept it? Well, at this point they have it. The apostles and the entire New Testament emphasize that God is life and gives life. Just as Psalm 23, which we read earlier today, reminds us of God's care and His eternal blessings that He has prepared for us down the road, Jesus constantly identified Himself as the source of life, life itself. Would they come to Him? Would they come to the shepherd? Would they come to the door and enter through Him? Would they drink from Him springs of living water? Would they eat Him and drink Him? These guys have refused. What is our response? Will we accept that Jesus is life? Are we living as if Jesus is life in every aspect of our life? That's for us to decide day by day. It's a challenge, but with the help of each other, with the blessings of God, following the Scripture, we can do this. Amen? Serving the God of life through Jesus, the source of life. God is not dead. He is certainly alive. He's eternally alive. He revealed Himself to mankind some 2,000 years ago in the person of who? Jesus. And proved that He is the God of life. He has the power of life. He's the Lord of life. We are offered the choice to accept His life, and we will result in eternal life for us, or we can reject His invitation and receive the other eternal aspect. It's our choice. It's the choice of the people around us. We need to encourage them. Choose life. Join us in following the God of what? Life. Are you pursuing life? Do you want the resurrection or do you want destruction? Which sounds better? Do you like pain or pleasure? Do you like good things or bad things? Let's choose life through Jesus. Amen? If you need to talk with me about something weighing on your heart, the God Spirit is working in something on your mind, please talk to me. Talk to one of the elders. That's why they're here. They'd love to share with you. Maybe you know somebody else strong in the faith here in the church family. Take time with them. Bless them. And let them be a blessing to you. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank You for Jesus. We thank You for life. We thank You for the hope and promise that there is something beyond the pains and the troubles and the heartaches and death itself, that You are fully able, capable of restoring us, renewing us, making us live again in a perfect body, which we didn't even take time to read and discuss from Your writings in Paul's letters. Father, thank You. Let us spread the good news that there is hope, there is promise, there is purpose, there is life when we walk with Jesus. Be with us as we go from here to serve and honor You, to lift up Jesus. We thank You and praise You. In His name, amen. God bless.